One of the biggest lessons I've learned in my journey as an entrepreneur is the importance of streamlining processes. Early on, I faced a lot of challenges managing the various aspects of my businesses, especially when it came to logistics. I was concerned that things wouldn't get done right, and it was taking up too much of my time. But once I found the right tools and systems, it allowed me to focus on what really matters, providing value and growing my business. That's why I want to share something with you today that can have the same impact on your business, especially if you're in e-commerce. We all know that shipping can be a major time suck and drain on our resources. That's where ShipStation comes in. ShipStation is a multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with whatever platform you're selling on. It's designed to streamline your shipping process so you can focus on scaling your business, even if you're out of the office or on a well-deserved vacation. I've been using ShipStation and can honestly say it's a game changer. The ability to automate shipping tasks and manage everything from one simple dashboard has not only saved me time, but also significantly reduced costs. It's tools like these that have helped me scale my businesses faster than I ever imagined. And the best part? Over 130,000 companies have experienced similar growth with ShipStation, and 98% of those who use it for more than a year stick with it for life. So if you're looking to work less and ship more, ShipStation is the tool you need to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities. Head over to ShipStation.com and use code BOOK, B-O-O-K, to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code BOOK, B-O-O-K.
Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer with the amazing cast of hosts with me today. Tia, Christy, John, thank you guys so much for joining us on Office Hours. Have I a treat for you. I have watched this young entrepreneur evolve, not only as an entrepreneur, but as a media star, a content mogul, and also a father, and I've been impressed along his journey of his evolution and his growth. Michael Bostic, welcome to Office Hours.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to see you again.
Yeah, it's so great to see you. And I think I was around Dear Media when it first started, and you founded it as CEO of Dear Media, and it's really become an incredible platform. You obviously had and co-host one of my favorite podcasts, not only to listen to, but to be a part of. And anytime I get the opportunity to be part of Skinny Confidential, it is to me an inspiration of understanding being yourself. And when I first started being a guest on podcasts, I wanted to have people think I was something instead of appreciate who I am. And after meeting Lauren and Michael, you walk out of that studio, the first interview, and you say, wow, there's people, young people, who really know who they are. They don't really want to impress upon you of who they want you to think they are. In every groundbreaking thing that I see you doing with the channels that you have and the shows that you produce and the brand incubators and the relationship capital and the community that you've built, most importantly, you really have great clarity from the start of your own essence, you know, your skills, your knowledge, and your desire. How important has that been, I think, since 2016, now almost 8 years, to the success that you see and continue to see in all that you do?
Well, I think, well, first, thank you for saying all that. I got to hang around you more because
please.
Those are very nice things to say.
Please.
You know, I think Lauren and I just inherently recognized early on that if we were going to do this for a long time, and pretty much everything we think about doing, we think in terms of decades and not in terms of years. We just inherently knew that if we were trying to be anything or do anything that wasn't who we actually are authentically as ourselves, it would be really hard to carry that forward over a number of years. And so our perspective has always just kind of been who you are. You know, some may like it, some may not, but this lack of having to curate is what I think has created longevity for us in the space, because we just get to show up as ourselves every day.
So to piggyback on that, hi, I'm TM, the owner of Stella Jets, and aviation's been a new company for me. We're only about 2 years old. But for when I was young, like you, I wanted to see how high I could go And then when I became super seasoned, I decided I wanted to see how far I could reach. And based on what you guys are doing, you're already at that stage where you're trying to see how far you can reach and bring other people up, even though you'll have amazing brands on your own, you and Lauren. What made you make that decision that you didn't just want to see how high you could reach, but how high you could go, but how far you could reach?
Yeah, you know, I think we're self-aware enough where Lauren and I know that there's always going to be a bigger fish and somebody further along the path. So what we both try to do is just compete with ourselves and try to be a better version of ourselves each day. We both like a challenge and we both like to continue to push. I think inherently one thing about us as entrepreneurs is like, we really love the process more than the end result. And so, you know, I could probably do a better job of celebrating the wins along the way. But for me, anytime we kind of reach a new milestone or get to the next level, it's really like, okay, how do we, you know, dig deeper and kind of challenge ourselves a bit further. And I think when you look at it that way and you kind of almost look at it as the sport you play or the game you play, it becomes fun. And then I think, you know, the reach becomes much greater because there's not really an end goal in sight. It's more about what you continue to push against and how much further you can take it. And I think that's a healthy way to look at competition as well, where it's like, we're never really looking at external factors or external people and measuring ourselves that way. We're more looking at the version of ourselves today and yesterday and seeing if we can push it a bit further.
I love that. That was a great question. Hi, Michael. Christy Becca here, CEO and serial entrepreneur as well.
Christy, guess what? Michael's from Texas.
Oh, yes. Fellow Texan.
Originally I'm from Meltzer's neck of the woods in San Diego, but now since 2020, I've been in Austin.
Oh my gosh.
Well, depending on who you ask, sometimes people say that's Texas. Sometimes people say it's not.
California, that's Texas.
Exactly. It's California 2.0. Exactly. I love it. Yeah. Keep it weird. We like to, yeah. Keep it weird in Austin. I'm from Dallas, so we can say that, but I love Austin. It's a great area. My brother lives there. My question to you is, you know, in this land of, you know, highlight reels and social media and everyone wants to put their best foot forward and, you know, show their elaborate this or trip or that, or, you know, just kind of, you know, in whatever social media platform. And you had spoke a little bit about authenticity and, you know, how important is that to your brand and keeping it real? And not only that, you know, for all of your, you know, social media platforms, but how do you, you know, because it is a slippery slope, it's a fine line of being authentic, but also sharing too much or not enough, you know, to where you still somewhat have a life outside of what you do.
Sure. I think we're very honest about what we share and what we don't share. So for example, Lauren and I, even though it may not look like it at times, we're very protective of our personal relationship. And we decide all the time, you know, what's relevant, that's going to enhance somebody's experience with our channels and what's not. It's going to be very rare to see us skipping on the beach, holding hands and, you know, kissing on a sunset. That's not really our content. Or, you know, we're also very protective of our children. You know, they don't necessarily have such a say in what gets on the channel. So we think about that. Really, we think about it from the perspective of like, how can we deliver value in an outsized way to whoever's consuming the content? And with that, I think people need to get comfortable sharing the good and the bad. That doesn't mean you need to turn over every single aspect of your life. But if you're just putting the highlight reel forward, I think that's very hard to carry forward in life. I mean, no matter what level or what station you are at life, you know, there's always ups and downs. And for us, we try to take people along that journey and share the struggles that we're going through as well as the wins. But, you know, I think it gets old when all you're seeing is from somebody, it's the highlight reel and the wins. Sometimes they want to see the veneer and hear about some of the things that you're struggling with or going through as a couple or as an entrepreneur, or as a business operator, whatever it may be. And so, you know, if it feels like it's something too sensitive and we want to keep some semblance of privacy, we'll hold back on that stuff. But if we think it's relevant and we think it can serve whoever's consuming the content on the other end and help bring value to their life, then we'll typically share it.
Hey, Michael, John Asraf here. High performance coach and like you, an entrepreneur. So my question focuses on just all of the different social media channels, right? It's just endless. And every, let's say, quarter, the algorithms change. The TikTok is hot now and Reels is hot the next day. And then what do you recommend for anybody who wants to share, you know, authentically share, a path for them to choose the one or two or three channels and to keep, you know, on top of the game so that they're using the best practices? Because a lot of times what you did last quarter doesn't work this quarter.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, I think first and foremost, I think if you're trying to track the next kind of social platform or the next algorithm, we're trying to kind of stay ahead of the next curve, that becomes really difficult. What Lauren and I recommend is that you natively create on platforms that you're going to be the most excited to create on. So for me, for instance, I'm maybe not the strongest on some of the TikTok platforms or social, but I like to speak into a mic. So what Lauren and I will do is we'll say that is our main channel. And from there, we get to have all sorts of long form content that we can then potentially distribute against any of the relevant platforms. So for us, one thing we like about podcasting or blogs or newsletters is you actually own those channels and then you can distribute on all of the social platforms. But there's longevity for us because we would do what we do and speak to people like David on the mic for free, you know, regardless of all the other stuff. And so for me, it's like if you're constantly trying to jump from one platform to the other because you think that's where attention is, that's really difficult to carry forward again over a year, 2 year, decades, whatever it may be. And so we start with what can you stay consistent on? What are you going to be passionate about? And then we take that piece of content and distribute it on the other platforms almost as support systems. But we're never concerned trying to jump from one platform to the next. There's different schools of thought on that. Lauren and I just had our friend Gary Vee on the show. And, you know, he obviously, his strategy is to distribute everywhere. But if you actually look at what he's doing is he's taking formats that he likes engaging on, whether that's speaking engagements or on long form podcasts. And then he's distributing that across a lot of platforms. So I think really it comes down to like, where are you going to be able to help hold yourself accountable and create consistently over long periods of time on one solid platform, whether that be YouTube or a podcast or a vlog or, you know, whatever it may be, you know, and then you take that content and you can distribute it on all the other support platforms. That's how I would think about it. That way you're not constantly searching for the next best thing. You have something that you can do consistently. Lauren and I have been doing the show for 8 years, but, you know, she's been creating content on her blog and newsletter and those platforms for close to 2 decades now.
Got it. Thank you. Love that advice.
And just to finish up, community is something I think of when I think of you and Lauren is something early on under the guise and guidance of Gary as well. I noticed in particular the community that was built before you started the podcast with Lauren, even far back in San Diego State. But today, I still think that every dollar that you spend on simply building a community is probably the best investment that you can make in your personal brand or your business brand. And I think a lot of people still are ego driven in what they believe to be a community, which is a following, and which can be manipulated and deceptive in its nature to have a following because it can be sporadic and also doesn't have the engagement. In a sense, when I say engagement isn't necessarily even comments and likes. Engagement is something that happens when you go on the Skinny Confidential where you say something that resonates with their community and say, hey, if that resonated with you, I have an overlap agreement, or I would love to send you my book and here's my email address, and which I try to do on every interview that I give. And it's very rare that I get flooded with emails. In fact, people say, how'd you give your cell phone out? Like, no, because most people don't have a true community. They have a following. Certain people are engaged with them, but they're not interested in engaging with you. But a community says, hey, you're bringing someone on like Gary or David that we want in our community. And therefore, if they're offering something, we're going to go and reach out to them for help. And I will tell you, out of the thousands of interviews that I have done since the last time I think I've been on Skinny Confidential, I've never got a bigger response than from your community. Today, do you still take that approach of the importance of the community over following or even engagement?
Yeah, I think one of the more dangerous things about some of these social platforms is people kind of pay attention to what I believe are vanity metrics, follower count, likes, comments, that kind of stuff. You know, Lauren and I, to date, you know, with Dear Media, and it's, you know, we host close to 90 shows now outside of the Skinny Confidential, have spent $0 on marketing. We don't even have a marketing department. I spend almost no time thinking about how to go viral or how to reach a greater audience. We spend almost all of our time thinking about how to serve the community we already have and how to make sure that we're getting them what they are looking for from a content perspective or a product perspective or even the live events we do. And we just know that if you serve that community well, that they're going to be the ones that are going to go and bring in other people to that community. You know, I think sometimes content creators and companies, frankly, make the mistake of they're so focused on getting the next person and they're not focused nearly enough on serving the people they already have. And so for us, we spend a lot of time thinking about curating content for the community that's already there and almost no time thinking about who's not there, and just trust that if we do that well, that that community is going to be the loudest spokespeople for us in terms of bringing and inviting other people into the community. And that could be extrapolated not only to the media brands that we run, but all of the commerce opportunities and live events and stuff like that. And I think sometimes people lose sight of that on these platforms because it's all about going viral or going to a different follower count. And what's been interesting for me is obviously I host a show day to day with its own community, but now running a company like Dear Media, when I bring on new shows or new talent, I have to really distinguish between the difference of someone who has a following versus somebody who has a community, because it is really, really difficult from a business perspective to monetize a following. And it is very easy to monetize a community. And there's a real difference between the two that I think requires some nuanced conversation and understanding.
It's so true, because a community will buy from you and sell for you for life. And that is the distinction that I have found between a following and having. I would much rather have a community of C-level executives of Fortune 500 companies than a following of 12 million people that are mostly 19-year-olds. And I see that mistake taken in a business that's a traditional media person and a traditional marketing person, to be able to facilitate growing a community, no matter who you are. If you know your skills, knowledge, and desire, and you stay consistent in your message, that's something that Dear Media does with all of its 90 or more shows. It's something that Lauren and Michael have done since I've met them. And they've also been able to maintain a terrific lifestyle for them and their family, holding true to the prioritization of health, family, fitness, and even finance. I applaud you, my friend. The only regret I have is you're not here in person, and I didn't get to see both of you, but I will come down to Texas and visit. Appreciate you taking the time. The incredible Michael Bostick here.
Thank you, guys.
Office Hours.
Thank you, Michael. Great job.
Great job, man.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.